David Bacher from Corian brings us up to date every month with what's happened in the previous month. And my goodness, there's been a lot going on in South Africa, as you'll see in a moment when we bring up one of the series of slides that we'll work through. It's this month's presentation is termed high stakes. The stakes couldn't be higher for South Africa after a collapse at the polls of the ANC. And a market that really doesn't know how to interpret what is possibly going to happen and what could happen in the future. But David surely will. Well, David, you've been traveling as well. Before we get into today's conversation, perhaps you can bring us up to date on very quickly on your trip to China. It's a place that is so central to everybody's investment approach nowadays, and in particular here in South Africa, where we do know Naspers and Prosus they're totally reliant on what goes on in the Middle Kingdom, as the Chinese like to call themselves sometimes.
Yes, indeed. I was very fortunate to go on a two-week trip to China. It was an eye-opening experience. I was really blown away at the technological advancements, the innovations, the infrastructure, and the sheer scale of the place. With having said that, it also highlighted the risks associated with China, with a state-run economy. Chinese market operates under a different set of rules where government policies can rapidly change and impact foreign investments. But on the whole, I really was impressed with what I saw.
Mm-hmm. And coming back home, where there is a belief that South Africa can apply the Chinese strategy to improve this economy, have we got the building blocks in place to even try something like that?
We certainly have a long way to go. What really caught my eye was how everyone knows what the government policies are. Everyone has to work for those policies. There's very little debate. I suppose that's also a weakness. But, you know, they set the policy and they implement. In South Africa, we have a democracy which comes with many, many benefits, but it is much harder to implement policy. And you can see that with how there has been little progress in terms of economic reform, innovation, and economic growth in South Africa.
So we got the ideas and we certainly have got the plans, but execution seems to have always been something that omits us. And this election, David, are we going to talk about it now when we go through the presentation of what happened in investment markets in the last month? But I've got to doff my cap to the BizNews community. They're very close. 41% ANC forecast, which was way below what most people were believing. And they came in at 40. The PA, for instance, our community were the only people who picked that up. They had the PA at 1.9%. They came in at 2%. A little bit exaggerated on the Action SA and on the Democratic Alliance. But generally speaking, and a little bit under on MK, spot on when it came to the EFF. Generally speaking, the wisdom of crowds was again reflected as being something that we need to pay attention to. And I guess that's really what markets are, aren't they?
Yeah, the markets, don't know which way to turn, really. Investors seek stable environments, predictable policies, policies that promote economic growth. And, when the election results introduce uncertainty, particularly in the context of the economic and social issues facing South Africa, it makes the investment climate more precarious.
Well, let's get on to the high stakes story and the idea that we certainly are in a position right now where, sure, the country is now having to look at lots of different permutations. None of them have yet been finalized. They've got 2 weeks, the politicians, and we're already into the first week, halfway there. As you say in your in your opening presentation for the month of May, which we've just gone through, it's all about high stakes. I like the fact that you've used a casino idea here, although strictly speaking, investors are not supposed to be doing casino type work.
Funny you should mention that. It was trying to be creative with Corey, and but one of the issues of having a poker analogy is that people could think that investing is a casino and poker, and that's certainly not what we were trying to portray, and we knew the risk that people could portray to that. But the poker analogy was, we thought, aptly captures South Africa's political predicament. I suppose in this analogy, the ANC is at the table surrounded by the other parties, each holding a mix of cards representing very, very different strengths and weaknesses. So just like a big poker hand, the ANC must, you know, carefully assess the risk and rewards because they've got to make some very significant and important decisions.
Four of a kind, four improvements in the major markets in the past month. So although the voting threw up some surprises to many, the markets themselves were powering ahead.
Correct. Markets were, as we the title suggests, kind to investors, with the main four global equity assets being stocks, bonds, real estate, and gold all being positive. I think equities was the driver and the biggest return. Global equity markets were up over 4%. Once again, it's the technology shares such as NVIDIA that is fueling that appreciation.
NVIDIA is putting more of its chips, if you like, into the artificial intelligence area, and investors certainly at this point in time love it.
It's been an amazing run. NVIDIA has certainly established itself as a leader in AI through its advanced processing chips. However, and what this graphic tries to illustrate, one does have to question if the long-term profitability justifies such premium valuations. The semiconductor industry can mature quite quickly, and NVIDIA will face intense competition. At the moment, they've got a bit of a moat, but there will be emerging tech giants coming to eat their pie. So if you also, when you think about investments, you also got to look at what else is out there. So this graphic shows you NVIDIA's market cap, which is $2.7 trillion versus the entire companies on the Hang Seng Tech Index. And that's 30 companies, and the likes of Tencent are there, Baidu, Alibaba, JD. These are big companies, and their combined market value is less than half NVIDIA. So there is competition coming from different parts of the world. And you also have to think of, how sustainable NVIDIA's market dominance in the semiconductor industry will be.
I guess this also plays a little bit to the fears about Donald Trump and the way that he's approaching the Chinese threat to American hegemony. On the other hand, you do have recently 100%, already there's 100% surcharge, import duty on Chinese electric cars into the United States, into the world's biggest economy. So those are very real issues, these protectionist concerns, and maybe that's playing out in the relative valuations.
I think one of the key take-home points for me after my trip to China was, everyone thinks about what tariffs and what the trade war will mean for Chinese companies. But you also got to think of it on the reverse side, what it will mean for American companies. And China's a big market for America, but I think China has woken up to the fact that they obviously cannot depend on the West, and they have to match technologies and innovation. So while there's definitely will be short-term impacts on Chinese firms, and you can look at the Huawei mobile implications there, I've got the sense that, probably we could look back at this moment and thinking it actually was good for China, because it is fueling so much innovation, technology in China, that one can actually say that maybe it's going to bring more competition to US companies and to the globe. And I think from a South African perspective, you're just looking at the car industry. You know, we now stay in the middle. One can argue maybe we're closer to the BRICS and the East now. I get that point, but we could benefit from those innovations from China as we have benefited from good products that we capture from the West.
Donald Trump, he is once again in the news, and this time it appears as though a little bit like a Jacob Zuma of America. The more the problems appear to emerge for him from the status quo, the stronger his stock rises.
Continuing with the poker theme, we call this counting cards. He's got 34 counts. You would think that, and if it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that such a conviction would be catastrophic for an election, but not in today's world and not obviously in America. So we have our own confusing political environment and decisions to be made. But, you know, in the biggest democracy in the world, you're having their own unique issues, and the world has changed. But I think bring it back to home. We're not the only country. You've just had India announce its results yesterday with changes in political shifts and changes in way elections are run.
Yeah, India's results coming or being interpreted as a major shock as the ruling party lost a big slice of its previous dominance in that country. It's still going to continue to rule, but has to do it now in coalitions. Equity returns around the world, David, in the last month?
As I said, America and the tech shares once again were the winners at the table, but it was pretty much broadly spread the green across the globe. Germany was up 4.3%. Japan was up. I suppose China was slightly down, but they had a very good month before. So whilst there was no outsized returns, mostly across the table.
And as far as South Africa's concerned, given that we had load shedding now becoming minimal, it's still there. Well, we didn't have anything in the past month. There still are concerns that we will have some load shedding in future, but stage two now seems to be Eskom's target and not to go above that.
Correct. I think the South African asset classes were all slightly up for the month, but emphasize slightly. I think we're in a waiting game at the moment. What I'm quite confident of is big moves in our asset classes in the next couple of weeks. I'm not sure which direction because it is very finely poised. So I think the market was a little bit benign this month due to everyone paying a bit of a wait and see game.
The winners of the JSE's top 40?
Virtually all of those companies that had a good month were commodity companies, commodity stocks that benefited from global prices that have increased, probably due to supply constraints being a bit eased and higher demand. So now, relatively, all the industrial metals went up last month. Gold, copper, nickel, silver, zinc all rose sharply, and that benefited those commodity companies. And also you had some nice production updates from some of the gold and platinum companies.
So the best performer, Implats, 13.5%, Richemont, 12.7%, Exxaro, 9%, and Sibanye-Stillwater, 8.5%. Richemont in there, 12.7%. What was the story behind that?
They released their full set of results a couple of weeks ago. Group sales were at an all-time high of, I think, about 21 billion euros. So, yeah, on the back of that, their share price rose.
On the other side, a continued decline for Anglo Platinum. This is, I suppose, ahead of the unbundling that might be happening there. Discovery. I was looking at Discovery the other day. Yesterday, and I saw the share price was down to where it was 5 years ago. And David, down 8.8% in the past month seems to emphasize that. Woolworths, the worst of those, down at 9.5%, and then MTN 9.4%. Take us through the Discovery, MTN, and Woolworths rationales, or why the market fell out of favor in the past month.
think Discovery is the easiest to answer. Their share price dropped after President Ramaphosa said he planned to sign the national health insurance, which he did later, very late in the month. So, you know, Discovery being really at the coalface of that, of what those implications means, was the reason for another drop in its share price. So that's really regulatory risk that's affecting them. Then MTN's share price was impacted off reported a material drop in first quarter revenue. The company has been dealt with a mix of macroeconomic headwinds, and you know they invested heavily also in Nigeria, and that currency has devaluated, so they're under further pressure. And then to answer your last question about Woolworths, Woolworths unfortunately posted a very poor trading update. It revealed that earnings is likely to fall over 20%, partly due to the impact of weaker top-line sales. So that was their reason for its fall.
So, David, what about the performance of South Africa's two cell phone majors, Vodacom and MTN? Fascinating to see that your research team has got together and seen that both of them have been awful performers for investors over the last 10 years.
It certainly has. We saw this tweet on X and saying how badly these two big companies have done over the last 10 years. And we did a bit of research, and it was amazing to see that actually, indeed, Vodacom share price is down 30% and MTN is down 60% over a 10-year period. This obviously excludes dividends, so one needs to factor that into account, but it's a significant drop, and you've got to think, what were the reasons behind that? And we know that there have been significant regulatory hurdles, including stricter regulations on pricing and data feeds. It's been a poor economic climate. There's also, it's a highly competitive industry, and one can argue that it's close to saturation. And then you also have to remember about the power instability and how that affected the industry, and the fact that they also had to invest in newer technologies like 5G. So all these factors have contributed to an underwhelming performance of the share prices of South Africa's mobile tech giants.
And the big flop of the month, unquestionably, Cyril Ramaphosa and the ANC. Lovely cartoon that you've put together for us, or cartoon character that you've put together for us. Clearly, the cards that CR has been handed are not four aces.
Certainly, we thought the way to end this presentation was to question if Cyril Ramaphosa has been a flop. I think many people would argue that the political results of 2024 and the election will infer that he certainly was a flop at the poll. We just hope that going forward, maybe he can take this opportunity to turn South Africa into the right position politically and economically. So hopefully he can turn this bad hand into maybe a good hand going forward.
Is there any upside there? Magnus Hastick says that hope is not a strategy, and certainly not when you're investing. Is there any good to come out of this election?
I think there could be, definitely. We'll just have to see if the politicians put hopefully the country on the right trajectory and put the interests of the country before hopefully political self-interest. There's a lot at stake, but when you are pushed into a corner, sometimes you can box yourself out better. And this certainly is a crisis for the ANC, but it also is an opportunity. From the outside in, you've got very leftist policies in the likes of MK and EFF. And one would think that's starting to get quite a crowded space. So maybe an alignment with more of a centralist DA coalition will be strategically the right thing for the ANC's long-term survival. And being a market-friendly better option for most investors, I think there definitely is that opportunity for the ANC. Let's hope they take it.
And the markets themselves, how would they react if the ANC were to partner with the DA, a market-friendly party, as you just said, compared with the reaction if there was a partnership with the EFF?
If that happens, the markets will largely look very, very favorably. You will see big rallies in South African bonds. You'll see our currency strengthen. You'll see our banking stocks stronger. The market will no doubt look at that as a favorable outcome. And over the short term, at least, rallying very, very strongly.
And the EFF or MK option, how would the markets react to that?
My view is that will be a terrible outcome for South African investors. You'll see bond prices and yields increase. That means the cost of funding increases. That means our debt repayments increase. The ability to get new capital and new investments will be less. And that will result in significant...
So David, what about
the South African economy?
David Bacher is with Corian, and I'm Alec Hogg from BizNews.com.